Welcome to Inspiring Stories for Bowra and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything.
Hello, my name is Tim McMillan. Welcome to another episode of Inspiring Stories brought to you by Bowra and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. My guest in this episode is an absolute trailblazer in Aussie rules football, particularly in the launch and the evolution of the AFLW competition. Born in South Africa, then moved to WA as a youngster to reside in, of all places, Kambalda in the Goldfields. But it was clear pretty early on that her destiny would take her into elite football coaching. And we'll get into her very incredible catalogue of roles and achievements throughout the course of the next hour or so. But let's say hello and welcome to Michelle Cowan. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, how are Tim. You? Very good. Thank you very much for having me.
You've done so much. I didn't want to list them all just at the get-go there, but just cherry-picking a couple of them. You're the first woman to hold a senior coaching role in elite level football in Australia at West Perth. You've coached at the Melbourne Football Club. You were the inaugural Fremantle Dockers coach. The list goes on and on. Yeah, so there's a lot to get through. So let's go back to the very beginning. Let's maybe take this in some sort of chronological order here. Born in Durban, South Africa, what brought the family to WA?
I was born in Johannesburg, actually, but my brother and sister were Durban.
Right.
And
you lived in Durban, right, for those first 4 or so years?
Yeah, I did. And lucky enough, I guess my parents decided to move to Australia, and I reflect on that quite fondly all the time because I think this is an incredible country to grow up in, and I guess still got family over in South Africa, and you can see some of the challenges that they're going through as a country as well. So, very fortunate to be living in Australia and absolutely love it, and loved Kambalda as well. That was quite I love growing up in the country, and I think Perth gives me that country kind of feel, but within a city. So,
do you remember South Africa at all from your childhood? I mean, it's hard to remember much from the first 4 years of your life, isn't it? But do you have any striking memories of life there?
I do. I remember, I guess, growing up with the people that, lived at our house with us as well, helping us as a family. And, I guess small memories, but my sister, who's a bit older than me, continues to remind me of some incredible stories of our childhood and growing up. And, love hearing those. And she's certainly got a lot more memories than I do.
I'm guessing with the move to Kambalda, of all places, that either mum or dad were involved in the mining industry in some way.
Yeah, dad's a sparky and got a job as electrician at Western Mining Corporation, and so lived in Kambalda West there on Grevillea Crescent, and went to Kambalda Primary School, and just remember walking to school with my brother and sister all the time, and I guess I was there till year 7, and then lucky enough I went to boarding school and got some incredible memories of being at boarding school as well, so and been in Perth ever since.
Dad was a rugby fan and a big Springboks fan. And yet you somehow took an absolute shine to AFL.
Yeah.
How did that go with mum and dad? Was he especially trying to guide you down the rugby path?
Yeah. Family love Springboks, still do. Go to any game that we can to watch the Wallabies or Springboks. But for whatever reason, I just knew as a 14-year-old girl, and I remember this moment so clearly growing up as a young girl, when I got asked, what do I want to be when I'm older? And it was really straight away. I just said, I want to be an AFL coach as a 14-year-old.
Which is unusual, isn't it? Because if you're that into sport, you're probably more likely to say, I want to be on the field playing, right? But you were so drawn to coaching from such an early age.
Yeah, I think that's because the rules restrict that I couldn't play back then. So, if I can't play, then what can I do in this incredible game? And I loved all sports, whether it be tennis, softball, basketball, triathlons, and every single sport I absolutely loved playing and played a number of at a state level. But if I had to choose one sport that I wanted to make a career out of and forge a long-term passionate about, it was really easy. It was always going to be AFL football, and that's certainly my first love, and probably followed closely second would be golf and cricket.
Yeah, and we've got a little moment to share a bit later on of your golfing prowess. Just to warn you, Michelle, it is coming. Falling in love with footy, though, I mean, was it frustrating as a kid that you couldn't play it? I'm guessing you could kick a ball around in the streets of Kambalda, you know, with your siblings and your neighbours and schoolmates, but not being able to play competitively. Did that frustrate the hell out of you as a kid?
Not really, because I think I had the drive to want to coach by then, and yeah. I kind of came to the conclusion that I couldn't play. Actually actively looked at the rule book to see whether I could nominate myself for the draft or anything like that, and would give anything to have the AFLW happen 20 years ago as it is now, and the way that it's growing and I guess the path that it's going on as well is really exciting. But my first ever job was coaching. I volunteered to coach the Year Nines at Iona, and that was in hockey and basketball as well. And it was probably going through that moment of coaching and teaching and seeing people develop and grow and be the best possible version of themselves in whatever sport it was, really ignited a love of coaching. So I thought I wanted to be a PE teacher because that was very similar. And but that was when I knew I wanted to be an AFL coach. And if you ask my friends as a 14-year-old girl as well, what would Michelle do in 10 years' time? And they would all say that I'd be in the AFL and coaching within the AFL. So, really strong-headed, I guess, about what I wanted to do and driven to achieve that. I don't know why, but I was.
Well, that's what we're here to explore, Michelle. Yeah. You haven't found an answer for that question yet. Coming from Kambalda down to boarding school at Iona, what was that like? It's a big shift for a young kid to face, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought I absolutely loved boarding school until I found a whole host of letters I wrote to Mum saying, "Why have you left me here? Why? I miss the dog. I miss you guys. I cannot believe you sent me away," and all of this. But some of my best friends that I'm still very close with now were boarders at Iona, and I love the mantra of Iona. Iona girls make a difference is what they, you know, and I really felt really strongly about that and felt like I could make a difference. But they certainly gave me some incredible tools to do what I do and follow the career that I wanted to follow. But, I thought I absolutely loved that. I was there just for 1 year and then parents moved to Perth, which was great as well.
Yeah. And weekends, as I understand, even through those schooling years, weekends for you were just an opportunity to go and watch as much footy as you possibly could.
Yeah, I don't know. My friends were going to the movies and the beach and hanging out with each other and Bicton Baths in particular. They'll probably spend a lot of time down there. But any opportunity I could get to go to East Fremantle Football Oval and watch the Colts and the reserves and the league and ride around on my bike and find any local community amateur football game. And
you just go and watch them.
Yeah.
And was it what drew you there? Was it the contest itself, or were you there to sort of just see the tactics playing out, see how other coaches coached? What were you there for? What was the really primal lure?
Yeah, it'd have to be just love of the game and passion. It wasn't, you know, it's an incredible game with such a large area and a 360 game with great athleticism, strength, and for all types of people, all tall, short. It's a game for everybody, and I think I just love watching the contest and love of the game, and whether that is watching, like I said, amateur football or waffle football or AFL football. So by the end of my weekend, I'd probably watch 8 games of live football in some way.
What did your friends think of this? It's like, "Hey, Michelle, we're going to a movie this weekend, but I'm guessing you don't want to come."
I think that's just what Michelle does. Yeah. So Michelle's watching. You're going to go see Michelle, you go to the footy, you can catch up with Michelle there kind of thing. So, just absolutely loved it.
Just loved it. Just wanted to watch as much as you possibly could. At the age of 17, so you finish school and then you sit down and write a whole lot of letters to all the AFL clubs at the time. Tell me about sitting down and writing those letters and what you were hoping for. What did you put in those letters?
Yeah, so I've still got the letters, and my grammar wasn't the best back then. When I reflect and read back on them, there's some spelling errors as well, which was disappointing.
Look back, as long as you didn't spell the club wrong.
I wrote to all 16 AFL clubs at the time, and the letter was just about my love of coaching, having coached the Year Nines and the Year Tens and the Year Elevens, and the fact that I felt like I had 5 years coaching experience under my belt, and I remember logging up, logging online, and it took me 30 minutes to get my level one senior AFL coach accreditation. And I think it cost me $40 at the time, and I printed it off and I felt really qualified and as a level one senior AFL coach, and included a copy of that in the letter and posted it out to every club and just said, all I want is 5 minutes of your time to prove to you I've got what it takes to coach at this level, and I've got something to contribute to your club to have a successful era and win a premiership, and I'd love to have a chat. So.
And just as we go to the break, let's just give a little taste of what's to come. Two clubs got back to you, right? Out of the 16.
Yes.
And I'll get you to tell us which two got back to you and how those meetings played out right after we take a break. Michelle Cowan is our special guest in this episode of Inspiring Stories. We'll be back with more of her story right after this.
You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything.
Welcome back to Inspiring Stories. We are hearing the inspiring story of Michelle Cowan, a trailblazer in the sport of AFL, particularly women's AFL. Michelle, just before the break, we were up to the point, you're 17 years old, desperate to get your foot in the door in a coaching role, and you've just gone straight to the top, written letters to all 16, as it was at the time, AFL clubs, hoping for an opportunity. You got two replies. Who were they from?
Well, I actually got 14 replies, but 12 of them were...
Two 12, willing to have a conversation with you.
So 12 I filed away saying that they'll contact me when they had a position available, but they had no vacancies. So I'm glad that they wrote back. So that was,
Can you shame the two that didn't even bother to write back?
Well, one of them, I'm working at one of them, but they have been incredible.
And it must have got lost in the mail.
I always wanted to work for West Coast my whole life growing up. They're the club that launched in 86, and I arrived in 86 when I reflect on it. I think it was always meant to be. Wanted to work there, and I remember a number of times knocking down the door and knocking on the door and emailing. But in hindsight, I wasn't ready to be part of West Coast Eagles when I was knocking on the door. And right now, being at the footy club, I'm so glad that it happened that way, and I've gone through and learnt so much about the game, and I feel I'm probably at my prime, and then I'm at the club that I really want to be at, and a club that I absolutely love. So, and Essendon never wrote back to me either.
The bombers, eh?
Yeah.
There you go. The two that did get back to you, Geelong.
Yes.
That you ended up working with for some time. And North Melbourne. Tell me how those two catch-ups and conversations went with those clubs.
Yeah, I met North Melbourne first at the Hyatt for a coffee. They flew over here and had a game, and it was actually a change of who I was actually going to meet with for that coffee. So I think the guy that actually met with me, he literally gave me about 3 minutes. It was kind of a conversation that started and ended just as quick, really.
Yeah.
And basically said there was no opportunities, but also that, you know, if I want to work in AFL football, I'm probably better to work in human resources or administration. And I wasn't there. I wanted a coach, really. And so, he wanted to take my resume and decided to pass it on to the admin and HR department to see if there were opportunities back then. And, that was in the year 2000. So a lot has changed in the game.
How deflating was that for you?
Yeah, I reflect on that a lot. It was actually inspiring, and I think we hear that a fair bit for some people. It can be deflating, and you can think, well, maybe this industry's not for me, or you can actually use it as a driver. And I walked away from there thinking I'm going to be a coach in the AFL, and it just inspired me even more. And I think I've since had conversations with North Melbourne a while ago around those conversations, and he no longer works in football.
I was going to say, have you crossed paths at all with that person since?
No, he doesn't work in football, and I think that's the industry. The industry is changing, and it's an industry for everybody. And I guess if you are old school and stuck in that way, then I think those people get moved on.
Yeah. All right, Geelong, a much happier outcome from that conversation. When you're going in to meet Geelong, I mean, what are you, when you're sort of prepping yourself for this meeting, thinking this is maybe, you know, well, to that point, that was your big chance. You've got to try and dazzle them with something when you first meet them. I mean, when you're prepping yourself from that, what were you going to go in and offer to them? What, you know, so I'm Michelle Cowan, this is what I can do for you.
Yeah. I think for me it was, I'll do anything. I've got so much to give this game. I've got so much love for the game. I'm so passionate. I'll do whatever it takes. If you need me to cut the grass to a certain length, if you need me to write reports, if you need me to go and watch football, I'll do whatever it takes just to get my foot in the door, and I'll work really hard, and then who knows what that becomes in a year or 2 years or 3 years' time. So I was really open to anything. I wasn't wanting any money. I wasn't wanting any payment or any fuel cards or anything like that. I just wanted to work and gain as much experience as I could. And yeah, Gary Davidson, he said there's no coaching opportunities available at Geelong Football Club, but in that moment he said, there's no way I'm going to let you stand up and walk away from this coffee without me creating an opportunity for you.
Wow.
So, you know, I reflect on his incredibly brave leadership 22 years ago to create an opportunity for me, because he saw something within me, and that's what started it all. And, you know, that's a challenge that I think anybody can create, I guess, make people feel the way that they feel or create an opportunity like that. And if he didn't do that, who knows what I'd be doing. So yeah. Forever grateful.
So what did you do for them?
Yeah, I was based over here in WA. I'd go and watch Fremantle versus the Western Bulldogs. I'd sit up at Subiaco Oval, and I'd do a report on who matched up on who at the start of the quarter and any trends within the game, any injuries in the game, because the following weekend Geelong would play the Western Bulldogs. And I remember it's quite funny. I would finish that game at Subiaco Oval. I'd drive home. I'd have all my handwritten notes, and I'd fax it through to Gary. And there was no emails back then. I was faxing it through to him, and just to reflect on that is unbelievable. And I'd go out to Wickapen or Wagen, and I'd try and watch all this country football and just see if I could unearth this incredible AFL talent. And I'd just send him through, look, number 13 at Wickapen, you got to have a look at this guy, and this is what I saw him do, and fax that all through to Gary and have some conversations with him. And I did that for 2 years and didn't earn any money after doing it. I was just doing it for the love of the game. But also for myself, I learnt so much about the game watching just doing some oppo analysis, learnt so much about the game. And but I think it was in that time I reflected that, let's be unrealistic, Michelle, aiming for the AFL as a 17-year-old girl. And then I became aware of an opportunity at West Perth Football Club and a coaching role, which is what I knew my passion was. It wasn't so much in, I guess, the recruitment and scouting. And, that opportunity for coaching came up.
Darren Harris was a key figure in your life at that point. Brought you into the coaching fold at West Perth. You spent, what, 8 or 9 years there, predominantly working with the midfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Not that long at West Perth. I later went on to South Fremantle Football Club.
Right.
And I had a bit of a break in between with having children and things like that as well. But, yeah, Jeff Valentine and Darren Harris gave me my first opportunity there. And
I suppose kudos to them too for handing you what was at the time the first senior coaching role for a woman in elite level AFL.
Yeah, again.
It's a big call for them, isn't it, to help you break that stereotype?
Yeah. Darren's another one that I'll put on that pedestal of forever grateful for, I guess, thinking outside the square and doing something different than what had been done for that 156 years that the game had been going for, and whether that be a former player and but for him to see something in me and give me that opportunity, forever grateful. And the way that he empowered and encouraged me in that role was special as well. I felt right from the first ever training session that I belonged there. And he really empowered me in front of that entire playing group with some of his comments. And
how intimidating was it turning up to that first training session?
Yeah, pretty scary. I remember driving there after finishing work. I was working at the City of Joondalup at the time, and I just thought to myself, Michelle, just give yourself 6 weeks to build relationships, connect with people, let them get to know you, you get to know them. Still do that to this day, you know. It's about connection and building relationships in anything that you do. And And I rocked up to my first ever training session, and I remember Nathan Van Berlo and Mark Lacroix and Quinton Lynch and Wirrupunda and these kind of guys in the room as well. And Harrow stood up and he said, "Boys, I want to introduce you to one of our new assistant coaches, and this is Michelle. And if there's anybody right now that has a problem with my appointment and our appointment as a football club, then I want you to stand up and you'll never play for this football club ever again." And
which is a pretty big, bold statement to make, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Well, my 6 weeks went out the door because he had so much belief in me, empowered me, and it was such a great football club to start that journey on.
Yeah. And how did that go? I'm guessing no one walked out.
No. No, very – Kim Rigol was the captain of the footy club at the time, and he stood up and he walked over to me and he punched me really hard in my shoulder, and I just felt like one of them, and he just said, "Michelle, welcome aboard. It's great to have you here." And 43 blokes stood up and punched that same shoulder and said, "Welcome aboard." And it was a fantastic club to be part of.
That must have been an incredible moment for you.
Yeah, it comes back to Darren Harris's leadership, and if that doesn't happen in that moment, that story doesn't happen and that feeling doesn't happen. So outstanding leadership, certainly back then as well.
And for those blokes that you were coaching, it would have been probably a first time for them hearing a female voice, you know, on the track with them, blowing a whistle, yelling at them, guiding them, telling them to do this and not do that. How did they react to you, you know, when you're right in the middle of a training drill?
Yeah, and somebody that, you know, on reflection, I was so raw in my coaching journey and my coaching experience as well. So to have Jeff Valentine and Darren Harris really empower me to do that role was something incredible. So, yeah, if I reflect on it, I was probably really raw to take on the job. But you've got to start somewhere and you've got to grow and learn. And I'm lucky enough that West Perth provided that environment for me, which really fast-tracked my coaching as well. I learned so much.
What sort of a coach were you? Were you a yeller?
No.
A quiet motivator? Were you, sort of considered a tactician of sorts? Or what was your coaching style?
I think probably my strength would be the building of relationships and ability to communicate with the team. Probably my opportunity for growth was always my technical, tactical side, having not played the game at the highest level. But that was an area that I surrounded myself with those people that had that skill set. I'm certainly a people person, build relationships, connect with people and try and get the best out of them on and off the field.
Yeah. And you've certainly taken that to the next level and beyond. We'll take a break now, Michelle. After that, we'll get you to explain how you ended up at the Melbourne Football Club and what was essentially the birth of the AFLW competition. This is Inspiring Stories. Michelle Cowan is our special guest. Back with more right after this.
You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything.
Welcome back to Inspiring Stories, brought to you by Barra and O'Day. In this episode, the inspiring story of AFL coach Michelle Cowan. Michelle, you're going to take us to Melbourne in just a moment, but after cutting your teeth and earning your stripes at West Perth, you move on to South Fremantle before you go to Melbourne. Why the move?
Yeah, it was. I was living south of the river and thought something. I knew that they had finished their finals campaign for one of those seasons. So I land up calling that football club. And lucky enough, Paul Hazelby had a coffee with myself after a number of calls.
Good old Haze.
Yep. he was incredible in my coaching career as well. So, he appointed me as a midfield coach with the league team and the reserves team at South Fremantle there. And was there for 3 years, and I do remember us losing a number of games in a row and being challenged by the board as to why, you know, Paul Hazelby, one of the greatest midfielders to ever play this game and probably one of the greatest in his era as well, 204 games of AFL football, and why is Michelle our midfield coach?
Just because he's on this station, Michelle, doesn't mean you have to give him that much of a pump up. But no, he'll appreciate it.
That was one of the questions that Hayes got asked. And, you know, his answer was because in my 204-game career, I've never had a coach that can build relationships and communicate as much as Michelle can.
Yep.
And that's why she's our midfield coach. And does anyone else have any questions? Because we've got a game to prepare for and we can move on.
Yeah.
So he was so supportive. And, yeah, I really loved coaching with him. He's an incredible coach as well, but he's probably better at radio. But, yeah, but he's still staying in contact with Hayes. And,
yeah.
And through that opportunity, that's when Melbourne Football Club reached out and I was working with Paul Roos and then also head coach of their women's team through the exhibition games, which was an incredible opportunity.
And
I really love reflecting on that one as well.
Fantastic to have the support of people like Hayes and Darren Harris. But what about, you know, mutterings from the sidelines, you know, some of the older members who've been sitting in the same spot in the same grandstand for years and years and years. How do they respond to you being suddenly a member of the coaching fraternity at their club?
Certainly some.
Any blowback from them?
There were some people that didn't like it and that's fine. I think something
How did you deal with that?
I'm really comfortable with surrounding myself with people that want to champion you on or support you and help you achieve what your goals are and weeding your garden to make it grow. And I don't need to surround myself with, I guess, those other people that have those negative thoughts or conversations, but also I'm happy to try and educate or have conversations to help them understand or help me understand why they don't like female
coaches. Do you give
them
the time of day or do you just block them out and ignore them or do you confront them? Do they, you know, keep you awake at night? Do they make your blood boil? Everyone reacts differently. How did you react to it?
Yeah, I remember there was one a player whose dad didn't like the fact that I was coaching his son at quite a high level. And I went over to shake his hand because his mum wanted to introduce me. And he said, "Oh, I'm not going to shake your hand. Women don't belong in football."
Is that right?
Yeah. And my husband was with me at the time and he didn't like what he heard, but I was quite okay with it. I just wanted to go over to the bar where everyone else was to speak to people that really cared about me and I cared about them and they were great people to be around. So I didn't want to, need to have any further conversations because I can have some great conversations with other people.
Yeah,
why
would you waste
your
time?
Yeah.
And that was the last conversation with that person?
Yeah,
or did you
win
them over or did you care, don't care?
Oh, I cared about the player.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation and a coffee with him just to say, you know, I understand your dad's thoughts and I just hope that you're not aligned.
Mm.
And that was it. Then we got on with footy and we got on with the drill and he was incredible with me moving forward. So probably a bit of a life lesson there.
Yeah. Well,
but, you know, even some people that say they're uncomfortable watching AFLW and women tackle hard and they're worried about them getting hurt. And my first question is, how many games have you been to? How many games have you actually watched? And generally the answer is they've not been to any.
Mm.
And it may be that they're watching on TV, but I can guarantee that if you go and watch an AFLW game and you see the passion and the love of the game and the athleticism and the strength and these incredible women, you'll fall in love with the game and you'll love the fact that they get the opportunity to play at the highest level.
Mm. Tell me about the move over to Melbourne and those exhibition games, which were really the precursor to what we have now, the modern, you know, competition, the AFLW competition. Obviously, that was an easy question to answer, getting invited over there to be a part of that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was challenging. I had two young children at the time and an incredibly supporting husband that would look after the kids here and I'd fly to Melbourne.
Mm. You were essentially a FIFO footy coach, weren't you?
Yeah, and once I got the opportunity to be development coach with Melbourne Football Club men's team, I'd fly in on a Thursday or a Friday. I'd do training on the Friday, go to the game on the Sunday and do review on Monday and then fly back to Perth on the Monday night. And that's what my week would actually look like. And I reflect back on it now thinking, how did I ever do it?
Yeah.
But the club was so incredibly supportive. They certainly wanted the family to move over to Melbourne. And
was it tempting?
Definitely, yeah. They found great schools for the kids. Tried to sort my husband out with – he works for BHP and – tried to find an opportunity at Melbourne for him. But the pull of family here and my love of Perth is what kept me here. And, it's a Melbourne absolute – it's a Melbourne state. Victoria's incredible. It's a football state. I mean, it's just incredible with and the amount of footy and entertainment there is. But it probably wasn't strong enough to get me to be over there. Yeah. And I certainly deep down had a love of the West Coast Eagles as well.
Can we talk about your family life? You just sort of led us there, perhaps inadvertently. But I understand when you first met your, well, the man who would go on to become your husband, yeah. you were reluctant at first to tell him that you were a footy coach.
Yeah.
Can you tell us that
research.
Story?
Yeah. I remember going on dates with Chris, and I really liked him. He was an incredible guy, and I was scared at the time. I got called lots of names being a coach in football and why a female would want to be coaching and in the change rooms or whatever it is that I got called for being a football coach. So I didn't want to tell him that I was coaching football.
You thought it might scare him off.
Yeah, I thought it'll either scare him off because he'd think this girl's crazy, or maybe I know more about footy than he does, but he doesn't.
And he's obviously a footy nut himself.
Not at all. Opposites attract. No,
right.
Not at all. Yeah, never touched a footy
is
before
right?
I met him. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So, which is a great combination for us because I can, if there's a really important game I need to watch, he'll take the kids to the park and I could focus and watch and work essentially.
Yeah.
And he can go and be dad.
So he's still not really into it. You haven't managed to lure him in.
No, it's a real struggle to get him to the footy, but the kids love it. They love coming to the footy with me, but yeah, if it's a corporate box, he probably will be there.
Yeah. Naturally. that way you're not just there to watch the footy, you're there for all the trivics as well. How did you balance it all? I mean, you've got, a young family, the fairly early years of your marriage, you've got, this footy thing going on the other side of the country, and you launched a national business as well in that phase of your life as well. That's a lot to juggle.
Yeah, I think it comes down to communication and that with Chris. Like, we kind of both supported each other on our careers and our journeys there. When one was doing really well, one might pull back a little bit on what they're doing, but I've also got a motto: to be the best, you got to delegate the rest. So to get help, it takes a village to raise. Whether it be somebody to do the ironing, which is an extra 4 hours that I can spend playing with my kids.
A thankless task, isn't it?
or whether it's somebody helping clean the house or something like that. It didn't bother me. I didn't feel like I have mother's guilt around it or wife guilt or anything like that. I was getting people in to help because I had my priorities were being the best wife I can be, being the best mum I can be, and being one of the best footy coaches this country's ever seen.
Mm.
And if anything fell outside of that, I really didn't want a bar of it. And generally cleaning is probably one of those things.
If you can avoid it, do it. That's always been my motto. It doesn't always go down that well in my household, but that's a whole nother story. This business that you launched, though, tell me just quickly about that, because I know you were associated with some pretty big names, not just in footy, but, people like Dean Cox, but also Adam Voges. What was this business idea of yours and how did that evolve?
Yeah, I think it was a great idea, and I had Bobby Despotoski soccer camp,
yep.
Dean Cox football camp, and they were really highly successful. And I'll end up doing it for a number of years, but then probably that passion with running those camps really wore off, and I wanted to continue to coach and aim for that. And the other side of it was around leadership and corporate leadership and training. So, yeah, that was certainly something that I'm still really passionate about and love. But, it was great to be involved. It was really successful and really enjoyed it. At one time I had 400 kids running around for a football camp. Yeah, and there's some fantastic organisations that are doing that at the moment.
Yeah, excellent. And I suppose their priorities had to take their place. And in 2017, with the birth of the Fremantle Dockers AFLW side, you got the call up to be the inaugural coach. We'll get you to tell us more about that right after we take another break. This is Inspiring Stories. Michelle Cowan is our guest. Back with more just after this.
You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Barra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything.
So firstly, Michelle, could you tell us the good news?
Yeah, really excited to be appointed the senior coach of the Fremantle Dockers women's team for 2017.
And you've had great experience coaching here in WA as well as coaching over in Melbourne. How does it feel to return to your home state?
Yeah, really happy to be in Western Australia, and you know, I've just lived down the road as well. So, but I'm excited to be part of this football club and moving forward with the National Women's League. It's a really exciting time for AFL.
And being part.
There you go. That was the moment you were unveiled as the inaugural Fremantle Dockers coach in the newly launched AFLW competition, as it was in 2017. What a moment! I know you had to turn your back on a great opportunity at Melbourne. But it seemed like a natural fit, I'm sure, at the time.
Yeah,
given your roots here, your family here, everything here.
Yeah, absolutely. Family here was the biggest pull, and Melbourne was incredible, a football club to be part of. And again, lucky to be there working with Paul Roos and Simon Goodwin as well. And the playing group as a development coach with the men's AFL side was a great experience for me. And still stay in contact with Peter Jackson, who was the CEO at the football club at the time, and, yep. and Josh Marnie as well, who plays a significant part in my career still to this day. Was great.
Yeah. Can I ask, as you reflect, you know, on the journey that you've been on and getting into coaching at a fairly young age, seeing AFLW launch and then become what it is today, if you could go back to Michelle Cowan at 17 when you're writing those letters to the AFL clubs, if I'd said to you at that point in your life, this is what will be happening in 2022, would you have believed it? And would you have been happy with what has been achieved by this time?
Yeah, I think it always had to happen. Like I was always really confused as to why women weren't playing at the highest level. So, but my focus at that stage was AFL men's. And at that stage, I think I thought I was going to be the senior coach of West Coast Eagles down the track kind of thing. So that was my vision. But yeah, it's fantastic to see how much this game has grown. It's the fastest growing game in the country at the moment with the amount of young girls and women that are playing the game. And yeah, it's just great to see that they can pull on a jumper and play on the MCG now, which is great, men and women.
What about that very, you know, blokey locker room mentality and atmosphere that's been a part of footy for, well, since it began really? Has that changed as much as you had hoped, and has it still got a long way to go?
We've certainly come a long way, but we've got a long way to go within all industries, I think, when it comes to equality and diversity as well and a whole range of things. So we're certainly on the right path. And I reflect on Gillon McLachlan's leadership that day when he said, we're going to have an AFL women's competition and we're going to have it in 2017. And the way he fast-tracked it, I think he can – that's his legacy, and that's an incredible legacy that he leaves for this competition. And, just amazing, brave, courageous leadership.
Yeah. And what does the future hold for you? What's are there still, you know, roles that you want to play at some point, other achievements? You seem like you're a very achievement-oriented person. What's left for you?
Oh, I'm loving my role at West Coast Eagles. I'm head of women's football there, and it's a bit of an off-field leadership role within the football club. But I also get my on-field take on the game, which I absolutely love, and game day I'm on the bench, on the headsets to the coach. So it's an incredible role that gives me great diversity. I think I've got a lot to contribute in it. It's ignited another piece, another passion for me, more holistically about the game. I think I've got a lot to contribute in this role, and it's a role that really excites me.
Just off-field, I did sort of flag this earlier that we were going to play a little clip that showed some of your other sporting prowess, not in the game of football, but in fact in the game of golf. And I know as a youngster, you were a state-level cricketer and golfer as well before footy kind of won that private battle for you. You were an exceptional golfer as well. And you got a call-up to be on a pretty unusual, I don't know what you call it, it's a reality sporting variety TV show that was on, I think, last year. Holy Moly was the name of the show. Let's have a little listen to some of your exploits on that show.
Oh, here we go. Catch me. Oh, it's too late.
Oh, my God.
It's too late. Fire.
Whoa. Almost gets a hole in one.
She's in fuego.
Michelle
loving this.
She is barbecuing hot to trot. Look, she's skipping. That's how you do it, coach.
It's the type of motivation she needs to show her football players what to do. There are a team of AFL players cheering on from Western Australia.
Oh, you're ready. You were born ready, Cowan.
Here she goes, Michelle Cowan. Can she get it?
She did it!
Oh,
she's done it!
It's all over!
Oh, the fist pump!
She's got it! Coach Cowan nails it! Absolutely blows away the competition under enormous pressure.
Girl power! Yeah!
That was exactly what she wanted.
The eagle flies tonight.
Well, here comes Sir Goth and Lady Gothina with the holy moly plaid jacket and golden putter.
There you go, the plaid jacket. You got to wear the plaid jacket.
Wow.
Michelle, I don't want to ask where that ranks in your life moments, list of achievements, but congratulations on getting the plaid jacket
and
anyway.
Gold putter. Yes, my daughter nominated me for
the
show.
Right?
And she doesn't like me going away for one night if I have to go away for work or a fixture or let alone being away for 11 nights. So I had to speak to her about the fact, if you're nominating me, I'm going to be away for a long time. And she was like, no, Mum, you've got to go, you've got to go, you're going to win this. And, she was really excited. So, plaid jacket, gold putter, very exciting.
What a moment. And a chance to show off your golfing skills after all this time.
Tough game, that one.
Tell me about your future then. I know you're sort of deeply entrenched in the women's game now, and you're happy to be at the club that you loved from the moment really you came to Australia and developed your affection for football. Do you see yourself now as being just part of the ongoing development of the women's game? Would you like to get back into coaching in a men's environment? Where do you see yourself going?
I think really committed to this role and for the long term. I don't see myself coaching in the men's space at all. The AFLW is really exciting. To see how fast it's grown in the last 3 years and 7 years. Thinking and imagining what it can be in another 5 years' time is incredible. They'll be full-time athletes whenever that is. That'll be exciting to see.
When do you reckon that will be?
I think in the next probably 3 to 5 years, potentially there's going to be some change there. And what we'll get to see is these women train more hours, not just 10 hours a week. And if they are training more, we're going to see increased skill level, we're going to increase strength, increase physicality, and increase the spectacle. So to make the measure of scoring against the AFL versus AFLW, well, they do train 10 hours a week. That's what they do in their in-season for AFLW. And then they play on the weekend and then they work 9 to 5 as a fiery or a teacher or whatever career choice that they have. So there's an incredible balance. I take my hat off to every AFLW player that balances a family, a career, and then a football career as well in wanting to be a professional athlete when they get, I guess, scrutinised as being professional yet not getting paid professional yet.
Yeah. And I know next Sunday you've got a talent search for West Coast, looking for the next crop of outstanding AFLW players. Who are you looking for? Are you looking to pinch people from other codes still, or are you looking to find those young, raw, natural talents?
Yeah, I feel like we're really comfortable and confident of the WAFLW system and across every, pretty much every player that's playing in football in Western Australia, but we want to cast that net further and wider and see if there's anybody that might be in the Pilbara maybe that's playing soccer or they may be in another code or maybe they haven't even picked up a football yet, and that's something that we can help coach and provide an opportunity. So our recruiters and our list manager will be at that session and trying to find that next talent, and maybe somebody like Sophie McDonald, who we found from hockey over in Albany. There may be an opportunity. I would have loved something like this to come up when I was 25 years ago
I
when
bet.
I was here.
The other coaches or people involved in other sporting codes must hate it when you turn up courtside because they know why you're there.
Yeah, I think it's important that we support each other when some players can play two codes currently, which they probably can. But as the competition goes more professional and they potentially become full-time, then certainly they'll have to make a choice as to what they're doing.
Yeah, and who better to drag them over to your chosen sport and to take them under a wing than yours, Michelle. So I'm sure, hopefully next Sunday you'll find some up-and-coming talents and you'll nurture them onto great things.
Yeah, no, even if you find one, it'll be pretty exciting.
Who are you looking for? What sort of player are you looking for?
Oh, I think we've got a few holes to fill with a few retirements in our program. So, yeah, we'll see what shows what happens.
No one in particular? No particular positions on the field or?
Nothing at this stage. Yeah, we've got a number of roles to fill.
If they can run fast, kick both feet, handball both sides, you know, straight.
Some key position players and tools.
Big engine,
and
all of that. Yeah. Very good. Michelle, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of your story. Congratulations on everything you've achieved and all the best with West Coast and the ongoing development of the AFLW game.
Yeah, so, wonderful, Tim. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for letting me share my story.
You've been listening to Inspiring Stories here on 882 6PR. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. We look forward to you joining us next time as we unearth another inspiring story.
You're listening to Inspiring Stories for Bowra O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Hey!